Sorry, the tune is Vince Clarke's Songs of Silence, Passage. That was Passage from Vince Clarke's Songs of Silence. I'd like to report on the Northwest League, where the Vancouver Canadiens play at this time. Three games were on tap for June 22nd. The Hillsboro Hawks jumped the host Everett Aqua Sox 7-2 at Funko Field in Everett, Washington. The visitors Vancouver Canadiens defeated the Tri-City Dust Devils 6-4 at Giza Stadium in Pasco, Washington. And the host Spokane Indians shellacked the Eugene Emeralds 7-0 at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. On June 23rd, Spokane blanked Eugene 3-0. Hillsboro stunned Everett with 3 runs in the top of 10th, but Aqua Sox walked off the Hawks with 4 runs in the bottom of 10th to win 8-7, and Vancouver shaded Tri-City 1-0. June 25th saw two venue changes. Eugene tripled up the visitors Tri-City 6-2 at PK Park in Eugene, Oregon. The host, Vancouver, blanked Hillsboro 2-0 in Rogers Field at Nat Bailey in Vancouver, BC. And Everett doubled up Spokane 14-7 at Funko Field in Everett, Washington. On June 26th, Eugene exercised Tri-City 10-2. Vancouver tripled up Hillsboro 3-1. And Everett blanked Spokane 5-0. On June 27th, Spokane shaded Everett 4-3, Eugene exercised Tri-City 8-4, and Vancouver bested Hillsboro 6-5. Three games are on tap today. Just getting into the minor league baseball page. Now to the high A scores. Just bear with me for a few more seconds. Now to the Northwest League tab. Just a minute. In the early game, Vancouver defeated Hillsboro 5-2. Later games feature Tri-City continuing Eugene at 6:35, while Spokane renewing Everett at 7:05. All times are Pacific.
Hey, are you a First Nations, Métis, or Inuit student? Not convinced university, college, or vocational trade school is possible? Or wondering what you should do after high school? Inspire can help you and your friends. Register for Inspire's free Indigenous mentorship program, Rivers to Success. Joining Rivers to Success gets you access to great information, great prizes, and exciting content. Discover careers and post-secondary paths geared towards Indigenous students across Turtle Island, just like you. Register online today at rivers2success.ca. Again, that's rivers2success.ca. Prizes, information, and fun are waiting.
Here are the current standings in the Northwest League, which is now in its second half. The Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays, are first at 7-0. The Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, are second at 4-2, much like the Spokane Indians, an affiliate for the Colorado Rockies, who won the first half. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, are 4-3-3. The Hillsboro Hobbs, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, are 5-1-6. And the Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate for the Los Angeles Angels, which play out of Anaheim, are last at 0-6.
I'm being completely honest now, okay? Homelessness makes me uncomfortable. But then I think, at least it's not sleeping on the sidewalk with everything I own uncomfortable.
Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
Welcome back. The sixth act is Chop Suey's self-titled album. The track is Psychose.
What?
I would like to update the Western Lacrosse Association at this time. It is an amateur league of men's senior A-box lacrosse, with many playing in the professional National Lacrosse League every winter. On June 22nd, the Maple Ridge Barrage overwhelmed the host Coquitlam 89X 11-6 at Coquitlam Sports Center. Maple Ridge returned home to face the Victoria Shamrocks the next day, where the visitors won 10-6 at Planet Ice, Cam Neely Arena in Maple Ridge. The other game on June 23rd saw the Nanaimo Timbermen dominating the New West Salmon Bellies, as the hosts won 15-6 at Frank Crane Arena. On June 25th, Maple Ridge visited Coquitlam for the second time in 4 days, where the Barrage doubled up the 18X 10-5 at Coquitlam Sports Center. On June 26, Nanaimo bested Langley 8-6 at Langley Events Center. On June 27th, the visitors Victoria slaughtered New West 16-7 at Queens Park Arena. There is one game tonight. The host Burnaby Lakers welcome the Langley Thunder at Bill Copeland. The ball drop is at 7:30 p.m.
Attention, women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit SCWIST.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
Here are the current standings in the Western Lacrosse Association. 2 points are awarded for a win, with no points for any kind of loss, from what I understand, according to the WLA standings page. The Victoria Shamrocks are first at 9-0, 18 points. The New West Salmon Bellies are second at 5-4, 10 points. There is a two-way tie for third with the Maple Ridge Barrards and the Coquitlam 89X at 4-6 each, 8 points. The Burnaby Lakers are fifth at 3-4, 6 points. The Nanaimo Timbermen are sixth at 3-5 for 6 points. And the Langley Thunder, which also have 6 points, are last at 3-6.
No matter your disability, you likely face barriers in your everyday life. At Neil Squire, we help break those barriers down by helping you access employment, technology, and the tools you need to live your life to the fullest. As a nonprofit organization, we empower people with disabilities all across Canada, and we are here for you too. Visit neilsquire.ca to learn more.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It has been a very polarizing issue for Surrey, the second largest and fastest growing city in British Columbia, for over the last six years. The then mayor, Doug McCallum, pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke did not give up her fight to keep the Surrey RCMP. On October 13th, Surrey filed a petition to the BC Supreme Court for a judicial review of the BC government's decision. The BC government responded on October 16th as Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, tabled a legislation in the BC Legislature in Victoria, which are amendments to the BC Police Act, i.e. Bill C-36, 2023, Police Amendment Act, 2023, where a key change is municipalities need to complete police transition plans approved by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, which directly targets Surrey. On October 25th, the BC Police Armament Act passed a third reading, with 56 voting for and 27 against. One day later, BC's Police Armament Act became law after it received royal assent, as BC's Lieutenant Governor Janet Austin approved the law on October 26th. On November 16th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, appointed Mike Sir, the former Abbotsford Police Chief who retired last fall, as the Administrator of the Surrey Police Board, suspended all 8 members of the Surrey Police Board, and removed Brenda Locke, the Surrey Mayor, as the SPB Chair. Surrey launched a second petition on November 30th, this time challenging if the BC Police Armament Act 2023 is constitutional. On January 25th, 2024, Mike Sir, the Surrey Police Board's administrator, released the SPS 2024 budget in a press conference, which was submitted to Surrey City on November 30th, 2023. With the SPS having deployed 215 officers at the time, $141.5 million were requested, 42% of the policing funds available. At a total of $337 million, 480 officers, which would increase the total of SPS officers to 526, 67% of all Surrey Police officers by the end of 2024, with Surrey's targeted number at 785. The SPS budget numbers were developed with Jessica McDonald, Strategic Implementation Advisor, and Deloitte, an independent accounting firm, assumed the Surrey RCMP will ramp down. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, during a press conference later on, said if Surrey doesn't agree, the Director of Police Services will make a decision based on submissions from the city and police. On April 4th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, introduced further amendments to the BC Police Act to municipal police management, where local governments with municipal police forces can choose one representative each. Members of each local police board can elect chair and vice chair. Currently, the mayor of each municipality, is now part of the local police board, except Surrey, as Farnworth removed Brenda Locke last November due to allegations of her obstructing the Surrey Police Service. The reason why I'm saying this is Ken Sim, the Vancouver mayor, is part of the Vancouver Police Board. I'm not sure if he's the chair at this time. Also, the Police Complaint Commissioner can call public hearings during misconduct investigations, do systemic reviews, and lead investigations into police complaint causes, contributing factors as part of Bill 17. Which I believe is now law in BC. On April 9th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, told reporters in the BC Legislature that Surrey actually approached the BC government in January, revealed the additional offer to be $100 million over 5 years, to a total of $250 million over the next decade, and the deadline at 4 p.m. However, Surrey rejected the offer shortly after 3 p.m., less than an hour to the deadline, according to a BC government press release, where Farnworth also responded that $150 million will be used to complete the transition. On April 23rd, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, announced that Surrey Police Service will become Surrey's police jurisdiction on November 29th, 2024. There will be no federal or provincial legislative changes required. RCMP and SPS officers will work under a collaborative agreement and will provide a notice to Surrey to end the Municipal Police Unit Agreement, i.e. Surrey RCMP. The SPS Chief Norm Lipinski added that he will ramp up hiring. Dwayne McDonald, the RCMP Deputy Commissioner, acknowledged work between the Federal Public Ministry and provincial government, and the RCMP will provide assistance until the transition completes, where BC RCMP officers will be working with the SPS. On April 29th, the BC NDP government and Surrey squared off in the BC Supreme Court in Vancouver on Surrey's legal challenge against the BC government directing the city to continue with the SPS, presided by the Justice Kevin Liu. On May 3rd, the 5-day hearing between Surrey and the BC NDP government on the latter directing the city to continue with the SPS concluded. During the final submissions, according to Tom Zatarak of Surrey Now Leader, the Surrey City lawyer Craig Dennis said, The BC government directing Surrey to continue with the SPS was done without studying its impacts. Trevor Bant, the BC government lawyer, countered with the following: while the Minister Farnworth is sensitive to the cost of the SPS, his ultimate responsibility is to ensure adequate and effective level of policing throughout BC. As he concluded that Surrey's plan was not safe, the $75 million difference between the Surrey RCMP and SPS was based on apples and oranges, 734 Surrey RCMP officers versus 900 SPS. Craig Dennis, the Surrey City lawyer, responded to Bant by saying Farnworth's power was to, quote, merely approve or not Surrey's plan to keep the RCMP, thus Farnworth exceeded his jurisdiction. On May 6, during a Surrey City Council meeting, the budget for the SPS and the Surrey RCMP was set at $221.5 million on a 7% tax increase from 1% on roads and 6% on general tax increase. The fourth and final approval for Surrey's 2024 budget, which included 26 bylaw approvals, was passed along the party lines, where Brenda Locke and her Surrey Connect councillors voted for, with four other councillors against, according to Tom Zaturek of Surrey Now Leader. On May 3rd, the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke gave another press release on the Surrey City website, also announced on Twitter, based on Section 27, Subsection 3.1 of the BC Police Act, added on April 25, 2024, where any municipality with a municipal board can object to any part of its budget to the Municipal Police Board and the Director of Police Services by May 15th. Locke continued that Surrey will uphold its budget, passed on May 6th at $221.5 million, $37 million lower than the SPS and Surrey RCMP's proposed budgets, which will fund more than the joint strength, the SPS and Surrey RCMP, of 785 officers at a property tax increase of 7%. On May 23rd, the BC Supreme Court Justice Kevin Liu rejected Surrey's petition against the BC government in directing the city to continue with the SPS, upheld amendments to the BC Police Act, and mandates Surrey to continue with the SPS, and Surrey can fund the SPS, as the Justice Kevin Liu estimated the SPS will cost $30 to $75 million more per year, between $50 to $120 per Surrey resident, thus rejecting all of Surrey's three arguments. On May 29th, according to Rob Shaw of Orca, the BC Premier David Eby reopened the door for negotiations 2 days before, where $150 million were still officially on the table. On June 10th, in another Surrey City Council meeting, the Mayor Brenda Locke announced that she accepted the BC Supreme Court's decision, which ruled against Surrey's judicial reviews against the BC government, in directing the city to continue with the SPS, according to multiple outlets. However, Locke still insisted the SPS isn't in the best interest for Surrey residents. We'll need to find out how much more the municipal police force will cost compared to the RCMP, including reviewing the Deloitte report, where the 734 SPS RCMP officers would be an annual difference of $30 million, with the SPS being higher. But Locke kept pointing out to the $75 million difference, which is between 734 SPS and 900 SPS officers. No, which is between 734 RCMP and 900 SPS officers. However, the Delaware report didn't account for the RCMP's recent 8% pay bump, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun. On June 11th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, welcomed Locke's acceptance of the SPS, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun, when the SPS provided another release on their website, where nine additional experienced officers from municipal and RCMP forces were to be deployed that week, with 225 officers deployed onto Surrey streets in eight different units, for a total of 367 sworn officers and 60 civilian employees, for a total of 427 employees, whereas Twitter link on June 11th said nine additional experienced officers were deployed that day. On June 19th, the SPS Twitter page updated its staffing numbers with a link on its official website: 373 sworn officers and 60 civilian employees, with the SPS transition page providing a further breakdown: 300 male with 73 female officers. On June 21st, the SPB provided the agenda for their latest meeting, which gave a year-to-date spending until the end of May at just over $35.33 million, for 408 employees were paid at a total of $36.165 million, 366 sworn police officers, 41 regular, permanent civilians, and 8 temporary civilians. The SPS requested budget is just over $141.5 million. The SPB had their latest meeting on June 26, where the SPS showed their year-to-date budget, with the SPB comparing it to their submitted budget to Surrey City last November, which was rejected, and the board is waiting for a decision from the BC Director of Police Services via Twitter. On June 27th, the SPS tweeted $10,000 signing bonuses to 10 experienced constables for frontline policing, with a link specifying the bonus eligibility to be until July 1st, 2024, which is now 3 days away, on Canada Day, no less.
He could be 30. He could be 50. Life has aged him beyond his years. A shopping cart carries everything he owns. Here he comes, toward you. What you think you know about how he got here is probably wrong. Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
Thank you for listening to episode 24 of the Steve Chong Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers establish the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience. And we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.